All right, Manitoba, welcome back to another episode, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're having a wonderful day, as always. Real fast, Manitoba, like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff that helps out the show, especially sharing. It really does help. You can follow me on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble. It's Manitoba Freethinker. On TikTok and Twitter is MB Freethinker. All right, Manitoba. So I would have done a show yesterday, but I had some technical difficulties. And literally 20 seconds before I was about to do the show, I literally just lost two cameras. So once again, more technical difficulties. So yay. But either way, I'm just going to power through it because I still got this webcam here. So that is going to have to do. So Manitoba, like, bottom line is, like the title says, Battlefield Manitoba. What is going on in this province? And has it always been this way? Sometimes I'll report on the crime and the violence in the province, and I'll get comments like, oh, it's always been like that. But I mean, some of these crimes are insane. And I don't remember kids getting arrested for guns, bringing guns. Not when I was a kid. I don't remember that. But either way, like, this, I believe, is like what our second or third serial killer that we've seen in the province of Manitoba. Like, I'm sure you guys are aware of what I'm talking about. If not, I'll go over it real fast. But, I mean, Manitoba, if you guys don't think that evil exists, what is this? Like, what are we doing? And, I mean, Jesus Christ. From the Winnipeg Sun, Manitoba RCMP continue to investigate deaths of three children, two women. Like I said, I'm sure you guys are aware of this, but in case you aren't, man, this is insane. Sorry, I'm just having internet problems. On Monday, police state blocked off the front and backyard of a home in Carmen, and friends of Cruz with police could be seen going in and out. Police vehicles were parked in front of and behind the house. So it was one of three scenes officers were investigating as they worked to piece together on how the deaths unfolded on Sunday. It began when police were called to an area outside of the town of about 3,000 people, southwest of Winnipeg, early on Sunday morning for a report of a hit and run on Highway 3. A woman was found lying in a ditch more than 2 hours and 70 kilometers to the north. Officers were called to a report of a burning vehicle and learned a witness, which turned out to be the suspect, had pulled three children from it. The children were pronounced dead, and the police took a 29-year-old man into custody at the scene. Further investigation led officers to the home in Carmen, where they found the body of another woman inside. Randy McFarland, who lives a few houses down, said the home was a rental property. The family had lived in the house in the quiet neighborhood for more than a year, he said. The children would play in the yard, McFarland said. And he had never had any interactions with the mother. Occasionally, he'd hear her yelling into a cell phone, and something seemed off. Carmen Mayor Brent Owen said he was devastated to learn of the deaths, adding he did not personally know those who died, despite being familiar with about 80% of the town's residents. He first learned of the first death after receiving a text from a community member, but didn't fully grasp the scope of what happened until hearing details from police. Manitoba Premier Wob Kanu shared condolences to those affected in the message on X, a platform formerly known as Twitter. Sending comfort and strength to the families and community of Carmen during this challenging time of loss, wrote Kanu. Winnipeg's Mayor Scott Gillingham, who grew up in Carmen, also shared condolences on X. He was, quote, shocked and saddened by the news. My sincere condolences to the community and the families impacted by this tragedy, Gillingham said. But Manitoba, shocker, this guy has had a criminal past. And I mean, I'm not saying this could have been prevented, but there were definitely signs. There were signs. Once again, Manitoba, how many crimes do we have to see before, if it's a federal issue, the federal government does something about bail reform? And, I mean, just stricter punishments in general, because it doesn't seem like to be any deterrence at all. Quote, you need serious help. Manitoba accused in string of murders had previous criminal record from CTV News. 3 years before Ryan Manokosiak, that's the guy who did the killings, killed his own family. Like, this is evil. He was charged in connection with allegedly killing five of his family members. Was warned by a Manitoba judge he was at risk of losing everything. You need serious help. Provincial court judge Kelly Moore said in a July 2019 court date, quote, at the end of the day, if you don't do something, it's going to cost you your family, end quote. Wow, those are chilling words now, 3 years later. They cost him his family, but it cost his family. It cost the family members more than anything. RCMP said a 30-year-old woman who was living common law with a suspect was found dead. Okay, I went over this. So the point of this one is Manitoba, that this guy has had a criminal past. Like, it should shock no one. So court heard that the then 25-year-old Manokosiak was under the influence of meth when he went into a garage at a home in Elmwood. He accidentally got locked inside, the Crown said, and he began striking and damaging the door, causing significant damage. He accidentally got locked inside. Okay, well, that he was breaking into the garage. That's a funny way of putting it. And he got locked in as he was breaking into it while he was on meth, while he was already breaking the law. The Crown said police were called and detained him and took him to Health Science Center in a state of psychosis. He was released later that day, and by the evening, he was found by police at a Portage Avenue Tim Hortons, where the staff had to call police. He was throwing glass mugs at the electronic display display menu. So, at a court appearance for the charge, Manokosiak's lawyer, Matthew Munt, said his client dealt with anxiety and depression. It's always mental health. Every single time, it's always mental health. So there were signs. He's had a criminal past, and it wasn't just the judge, Manitoba. Oh, hey, what happened? That was calling him out. Soon as this loads, I'll show you guys. It was the 17-year-old that got murdered as well. She was placed in that home from foster care. And she was warning CFS again 2 years ago that this Ryan Manokosiak character was violent and showed signs of violence in the past, yet CFS still placed the 17-year-old girl with him, with his family. The grieving mother of the teen who was among the family killed in Carmen, Manitoba over the weekend is demanding answers, saying her daughter was placed in a home where she died by Winnipeg Child and Family Services, despite warnings that it wasn't safe. So she said about 10 months ago, Winnipeg CFS placed her daughter in the home with Manokosiak and Clearwater, that was the wife or the girlfriend of Manokosiak that was murdered. Though not related by blood, Maya Lee, that's the 17-year-old, called her Auntie Mandy. Hastings said Maya Lee had requested CFS put her in the Carmen home following an argument with her in April 2023, and CFS gave in. And from the mother of the 17-year-old, quote, he would throw things, he would yell, he would punch the walls, he would hurt members in the family there, Hastings said. She lived with Clearwater for a short time and was concerned about Manokosiak's behavior, which she described as scary. On more than one occasion, Hastings said police were called to the home due to Manokosiak's episodes. Manitoba RCMP would not confirm it. If they had been called prior to the killings on Sunday, saying that forms part of the ongoing investigation. Manokosiak has previously been charged in 2021 with two counts of impaired driving causing bodily harm. In 2019, he pled guilty to a charge of mischief following a break-in while under the influence of meth. So, I mean, Manitoba, this is a horrible story. Like I said, it's fucking evil. But I'm just saying there were signs, and they were all ignored. And once again, we have a repeat offender going off the deep end. I again, this is not the first time in the province that we've seen this. Manitoba, I am having some internet problems. Like, this is insane. I'm going to try and shut down this. So I have these two webcams. I'm going to cancel. I think it's just my Wi-Fi is overloaded. These two webcams are being fed off the Wi-Fi. So what happened to this Manitoba? Manitoba Premier aims tough stance on crime 3 months into the term. What happened to that, Manitoba? Like, this is something, he said this because Manitoba was seeing an insane amount of crime. And what has changed? The only thing that's changed since Wob Canoe said this is the severity of the crimes that are taking place in Manitoba. NDP is all talk, and it just seems like things are literally getting worse. Here's his comments. Once again, this is what the NDP specializes in. They come out for the victims. They do nothing to deter crime, nothing to punish criminals. But after a crime takes place, they'll come out and comfort the victims. It seems to be ongoing. Here's what he said.
I remember what it's like to hold a 2.5-month-old in my arms. I remember what it's like to walk a 4-year-old to nursery. I remember what it's like to hold the hand of a 6-year-old while you're crossing the road. I remember what it's like to be there with a 17-year-old. Should be thinking about grad clothes. And I know what it's like at the end of each day to share a laugh with my wife. And I think people from all walks of life in every part of this province understand these bonds, because these bonds are sacred. And this time is difficult for us right now because these sacred bonds have been broken in our province. And there is no context. There is no explanation that can make this okay. This is pure darkness. But I want to say to the people of Manitoba that we are not helpless in the face of darkness. We can take action and work together to protect the vulnerable. We can offer comfort. We can offer support. We can find support in faith. I know that there are many people who will be thinking of the book of Job tonight. It asks us to grapple with the age-old question of why do bad things happen to good people? When you think about a 2.5-month-old, it's impossible to imagine that there's anything that could justify what took place. The same could be said of every other victim in this terrible tragedy. And yet faith may not provide us with an easy answer. It does provide us with a direction.
All right. So with that being said, Manitoba, again, it's all talk, no action, because like the next 2 weeks in February has been mind-blowing. And like I said, this, my fucking internet is, oh, this way. No, that way. Loading. The next 2 weeks have been insane. But I apologize, Manitoba. Maybe if I don't get a faster internet connection, maybe I'm going to have to just record these podcasts and then upload it, not do it live. because this is fucking insane. Although I have a feeling that could be two things. One, I had a shitload of tabs open, or two, I connected two webcams over my Wi-Fi, which I really think fucked everything up. But either way, it loaded. So three men attacked in separate stabbings in Winnipeg in one night. Police say all victims are in stable condition. No arrests made. Three men are in stable condition after they were attacked in separate stabbings in Winnipeg. Friday night and early Saturday morning. Hold on a second, man. This is insane. Okay, so the first attack happened around 8:40 p.m. Friday around Donald Street and Portage Avenue. Police said in a news release Saturday, a man in his 40s was taken to the hospital in unstable condition but was later upgraded to stable. Officers were later called to another stabbing around 1:50 a.m. Saturday on the 800 block of Main Street between Sutherland and Flora Avenue. They found a man in his 20s with multiple injuries who was given emergency medical care before he was taken to hospital in unstable condition. And around 4 a.m. Saturday, officers were called to the area on Church in Maine for another report of a stabbing. In a news release, the victim in his 30s was given emergency medical care and then was taken to the hospital. Police say that the attacks are not being linked at this time and no one has been arrested. But Manitoba, that's not all. Man stabbed on Winnipeg transit bus while being called racial slurs. Like, it's just, you can't make this up. This is Winnipeg. Winnipeg police say a man in his 20s was being called racial slurs when he was stabbed on a Winnipeg transit bus Tuesday night. Officers responded to an Osborne transit station Tuesday at around 8:45 p.m., the police service said in a news release on Wednesday. The man was threatened and assaulted by another man on the bus before it stopped, and both men got off. Police were contacted. The other man fled. Officers gave the victim emergency medical care, including a chest seal, and took him to the hospital in critical condition, where he was later upgraded to stable. So Major Crimes is investigating. So, another one. Believe it or not, Manitoba, these are all different. A Winnipeg woman has been charged in connection with a stabbing on Sunday in the city's north end. The Winnipeg Police Service began to investigate around 8:05 p.m. on Sunday when officers received a report of a fight involving area residents in the 600 block of College Avenue. When police got to the scene, they found a 30-year-old woman with multiple stab wounds. Officers provided emergency medical care, applied a tourniquet and a chest seal. The victim was taken to a hospital in unstable condition, but has since been upgraded to stable. There's a 40-year-old woman who is charged with aggravated assault and a possession with a weapon. She is in custody. I don't understand when you stab someone multiple times, why you're only being charged with aggravated assault. Like, when you stab someone, aren't you trying to kill them? I don't understand why it's not attempted murder. So they'll do a couple months in jail and be out to do it again. That is Winnipeg. I wouldn't be surprised if all these people, obviously I haven't looked into it, have prior interactions with the law. You know what I'm saying? One man found dead in North End, three fleeing scene. Winnipeg police say the death of a man found in a suite in the North End residence where armed men were believed to be present is being treated as a homicide. At 2:40 a.m. on Thursday, police said multiple districts assisted by the Air One helicopter arrived at the multi-room residence in the 300 block of Magnus Avenue and found three suspects fleeing the residence. One with a firearm, they were arrested without incident. An adult male was found dead within the suite and autopsies pending. The death is being treated as a homicide. It's just like every night, it's one thing after the next. And like the description says, like this is, it's police, civilian on civilian crime, police on civilian crime, civilian on police crime. It's just everyone's getting it from all sides. And I mean, I besides the video, I played Wob Canoe and like earlier last month, Wob's supposed tough on stance, tough on crime stance. The NDP has been pretty quiet about everything. Fuck, I know I'm repeating myself, but my internet is driving me insane. So, man 59 fatally shot by Winnipeg police following mental health call. 59-year-old man is dead after he was shot by Winnipeg police on Tuesday. The fatal shooting happened at a Winnipeg home after officers attempted to take the man to hospital for non-voluntary physical examination under the province's Mental Health Act, the Winnipeg Police Service said Wednesday. Police received the order to apprehend him last Thursday and had made several unsuccessful attempts to apprehend him in the following days. At 7:26 a.m. Tuesday, officers went to the home on Magnus Avenue where the man answered the door. He was exhibiting agitated behavior while holding a crowbar. When officers went up to the man, he sprayed them with a fire extinguisher and fled inside the home, locking himself in. Police then called the tactical support team. Those officers tried to speak to the man but were unsuccessful. Officers went to the home and continued to try to speak to the man, who had barricaded himself inside the bedroom on the second floor. The man again sprayed the officers with a fire extinguisher, and after some time, he left the bedroom and confronted officers with a large-edged weapon. And that's when officers shot the man. They gave the man emergency medical care, including chest seals and a tourniquet. He was taken to Health Science Center in critical condition and died. So, I mean, again, another man with a knife that is attacking police officers. And it seems a lot similar to the death of the 19-year-old El Paso. I could be pronouncing that name wrong. But he was also shot by police, and he confronted them with knives. So I don't hear any, I don't hear many protests about the 59-year-old dude that was shot and killed by police the exact same way. But as this title says, tensions run high at town hall on policing black communities in the wake of the 19-year-old's death. Again, and I talked about this a couple shows ago. I played the audio clip of it, and from the time the police officers told him to drop the knife, it was like 10 to 15, I can't remember exactly, like 15 seconds I counted before the first shot, right? Oh, no, before the second cop told him to drop the knife. So again, there were multiple warnings and a decent amount of time. And again, remember, they're in an apartment block where it takes 3 seconds to get on the other side of the room and stab a cop. But Manitoba, everything is, and I'm not saying this case is not police brutality, but when, as soon as a case happens, when the first thing that you do say is police brutality, then, I don't think it holds as much weight to it as you'd like. So there's a lot of frustration, anger, and misunderstanding, moderator of Sunday's discussion says. Winnipeg residents put the city's chief police officer in the hot seat during a discussion on policing black communities that sometimes becomes heated with the recent death of a young Nigerian student looming over the talks. The town hall called Policing Black Manitobans was held in the wake of a 19-year-old Afalabi Stefan Apostle's death. Apostle, U of M student, was shot by police on December 31st after officers responded to a well-being call. I'll say real fast, again, he had a knife and confronted the officers. So, where was I? About 70 people showed up Sunday afternoon and packed the African communities of Manitoba offices. Let me see. Chief Police Danny Smythe said and former Chief Devon Clunas answered questions about how the police system could be reformed to better serve residents in what is often a tense exchange of ideas. People at the town hall pointed out El Paso wasn't the only person killed in a police-related incident recently. So far this year, Manitoba's Independent Investigation Unit has launched two other investigations into police-related deaths. El Paso's death is being investigated by the Alberta's Serious Incident Response Team. Smythe said early he couldn't address any specifics related to the case. The city can do better. Not what you think, Manitoba. Regardless if someone has mental health or regardless if they're selling drugs, if we see on the news that one of us was killed, I'm going to assume that makes me special not to be killed. Dalili Loka said during the town hall. That's weird. See, that's the problem, Manitoba. When you look at everything through the lens of race, like she's saying, because she's black and this person is black and got shot by police, she is just as likely to get shot by police, which is obviously ridiculous in its face. Unless she's going to come at the cops with a gun or a knife, she's not going to get shot by police. Just like when they shoot a white person, I don't right away think that I'm going to be the next white person to get shot by the police because I'm not going to attack them with a weapon. So it's the same old thing. If a minority is in trouble, it's right away racist. So here's some other, like, these are a couple stabbings and a couple murders. Man dead after shooting in Pinamutang Reserve, Manitoba RCMP. Another headline. 12-year-old boys arrested in connection with gun threats at two Manitoba schools. Two different boys were arrested in two separate incidences. With guns. Like, this is insane in Manitoba. Next headline. Opportunity. Not organized crime driving auto thefts in Manitoba, police say. Another headline. Off-duty RCMP officer beaten in front of Winnipeg Elementary School. So these are some of the headlines that are circulating in Manitoba. And people are gonna laugh at me for saying having the title Battlefield Manitoba, but it's just every time I read the news, it's crazy murders, crazy like stabbings, and the NDP just talk. That's all they do. So where was I? There. So that headline about the 18-year-old that. Or the guy that was shot on the reserve, they actually did. They are charging a guy, if this fucking internet would ever load. Man 18 charged with murder, believed to be armed and dangerous, and in Winnipeg. So that's the guy that murdered the guy on the reserve. He's out on the loose in Winnipeg, so beware. Drayden Kenneth Ducharme, 18, was charged with second-degree murder on Wednesday, RCMP said. He's believed to have long black hair. That photo's dated. An 18-year-old was wanted after another man was killed on a Manitoba First Nation earlier this week. So, Dryden Kenneth Ducharme, 18, of Grand Rapids, was charged with second-degree murder on Wednesday in connection with the death of a 23-year-old man in Pinometang First Nation earlier this week. All right. A warrant has been issued. So, like I said, Manitoba, it's one thing after the next. It's murder, murder, murder. And it's not only civilians. Suspects charged after officers shot during armed and barricaded incident. So that's what I mean. Like, it's everyone's getting it. Cops are killing people. People are shooting at cops. obviously civilian on civilian crime. But this is crazy. Three Winnipeg cops shot, and they didn't even shoot the guy, kill the guy that shot him. Winnipeg police released new details of a lengthy standoff in the north end that led to three officers being shot with shotgun pellets. The incident began early Friday morning when patrol officers were called to a home in the 300 block of Boyd Avenue for reports of an armed robbery. Police say three men forced their way inside the home and shot a 40-year-old man before fleeing. He was taken to hospital in unstable condition, later upgraded to stable. Investigators said a 25-year-old woman was also believed to have been forcibly removed by the suspects. Turned out not to be true, just so you guys know. So general patrol officers and a tactical unit arrived at scene and evacuated neighboring suites. Two suspects, a 46-year-old man and a 30-year-old woman, left the residence after being instructed by the tactical support team. The 25-year-old woman was believed, she was not abducted, and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, either way, three cops shot, and that's not all, man. It's just too funny at this point. Off-duty RCMP, the headline, RCM, off-duty RCMP officer beaten in front of Winnipeg Elementary School. And the thing is, this officer identified themselves. But when the media and the leaders paint the police as the bad people and the criminals as the victims, and they just completely forget about the victim, of course people aren't going to respect the cops anymore. An off-duty RCMP officer was attacked in front of a Winnipeg Elementary School by two men who were causing a disturbance. The two men were in a vehicle during the afternoon school dismissal just after 3 p.m., when they began being disorderly in front of the Buchanan School on Buchanan Boulevard. Police did not say what the men were doing. An off-duty officer walked over, identified himself, obviously as a police officer, and asked the men to leave the area. The men became irate, got out of their vehicle, and attacked the officer. That is just mind-blowing to me. Just, it's the culture that people are just so willing to attack officers. It seems new to me. I don't remember this happening. Maybe I'm just unaware of it. Several people witnessed the assault and intervened in an attempt to stop it. Police arrived and arrested the two men, aged 39 and 44. The RCMP officer was treated in hospital for upper body injuries. Oh, so, I mean, it's just fucking mind-blowing that the state we're in. And, like, Manitoba consistently fights for the murder capital of Canada. Same with Winnipeg. And we just got a governing body that just is willing to say what you want to hear but do nothing. And the last story, sorry, this show sucks. I admit it. This is a bad show. Because right off the hop, my internet has been fucked. And I don't, like I said, I don't know if it's because I had those two computers connected. I don't know if it's because I had like 10 tabs open at the time. Or I don't know if it's because I had these tabs open for like a week, because I've actually was supposed to do this show a week ago. And it just got postponed till now. So to be honest with you, I don't even know if I'm going to post this because it was shitty. But these headlines are fucking insane, Manitoba. And the last article I'm going to go over real fast. Manitoba RCMP arrest a woman in baby's death. This is crazy. And this is like the second just recently, I went over an article about parents being charged. Remember this one, guys? Winnipeg parents charged with manslaughter in fentanyl death of one-year-old. And now, right away, we have another baby dying and more piece of shit parents being charged. One-year-old boy has died in Manitoba RCMP said one person is in custody. RCMP said officers were called to Wasagamac First Nation Saturday morning for reports of a child death. After finding the one-year-old boy and ruling his death as a homicide, officers arrested the 26-year-old woman. And she remains in custody. And Manitoba, believe it or not, there's already articles out blaming the fact that she came from a reserve that was flooded out a while back. I'm not sure how many years ago. And she's been in Winnipeg ever since. And already the chief of that reserve is coming out saying if Manitoba did better to get them back to the reserve, that this would have never happened. But the baby died from malnutrition. So it's not like something that happened fast. Obviously, dying of malnutrition takes a while. So this... honestly, Manitoba, the moral of this show is criminals need to take responsibility for their action. And if they're not willing to, we, the justice system, the people, have to hold them accountable for their actions, because I am just so fucking sick of the heinous crimes that I'm now reporting about. Like, this isn't Chicago. This isn't New York. You know what I mean? Los Angeles, downtown Los Angeles. This is fucking Manitoba. And the thing is, it's not even happening just downtown. It's happening all over Winnipeg, all over the province. Portage, Selkirk, Thompson. And like I said, the crimes seem to be getting worse and worse. And the perpetrators seem to be getting younger and younger. And the media, and like I said,